We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft. But Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
You're listening to From the Chair, and I'm your host, Mike Hamilton. Join us each episode as we talk to athletic directors from across America. We're going to talk about topics like leadership, career development, issues of the day, and I can promise you we're going to have some fun along the way, too. So sit back, listen in, and let's dive in. Let's go. Hey, welcome in. It's my pleasure to have John Hartwell with us today, the athletic director of Utah State. John, how are you doing?
Doing well. Great to be with you this morning, Mike.
Well, I appreciate you taking some time to join us. And I know that you've come off a big weekend again out there in Utah with another big win. And that's got to feel pretty good on a Monday morning.
Yeah, it really does. Friday night game this past week with North Dakota and, you know, coming off a victory over Washington State the week before, our coaching staff was very careful to warn our team how good North Dakota was. And, you know, just because they're an FCS opponent, you know, not to take them lightly. And they jumped out on us early, but we were able to come back and win going away. And, you know, if you look around the world of college football and look at what FCS teams have done to FBS teams in the first couple of weeks, it's kind of scary. So we're glad to get that win and get ready for Air Force in Colorado Springs this coming Saturday.
Sounds great. Well, look, I know as an athletic director, one of the things that athletic directors are always going to be judged by is the coaches that you hire, right, and the timing on all that. And you in particular have had an interesting 18 months in that you hired a new women's basketball coach, a new football coach, and a new men's basketball coach in Kayla Ard and Blake Anderson in football, and then Ryan Odom in basketball. And those are three significant jobs in a short period of time. Walk us through that process a little bit. Maybe I know there were maybe some different circumstances on the chains themselves, but how you approached the new hires.
Yeah, happy to. And, you know, we've been fortunate. And as you say, over the 18 months, those three, and also women's soccer and volleyball too. So we've had, quite a string of new employees and new coaches coming in. But, you know, I think the most important things, you know, I kind of break it into two silos when you're looking at, you know, coaching searches. One, obviously, is the ability to coach. And there are so many things that go into that. Recruiting, player development, you know, developing a staff, all of those things. So that's a really important component. But I think equally as important is fit. I mean, you know, there are different areas in the countries in the country and different settings. And I think it's really important that you don't forsake fit just because someone is a talented coach. And that's really important here in Cache Valley. You know, it's not downtown Manhattan. And so making sure that a fit is there, and, you know, not only with the fit, but I think the communication up front and being candid with potential candidates and them being candid back. And I think that is the start of developing a really good relationship or a really good athletic director, head coach relationship. And obviously those sports that you have direct supervision over. And in my case, you know, football, men's and women's basketball, it's even more important because it really is a partnership, and knowing that those are the programs, while every one of our 16 sports is extremely important, the engines that drive the train from a revenue perspective and from a media coverage perspective, you know, are those top three there.
No doubt. John, you know, a variety of different ways to approach this, as you've alluded to. Do you use search firms in your process?
You know, it depends on the situation. For the women's basketball hire, and then when we hired Blake Anderson, we did utilize search firms. When we hired Ryan Odom back in the spring in men's basketball, we didn't. And really, you know, I've had quite a few people ask me, said, well, hey, you've used search firms in the past. Why didn't you use it on this latest men's basketball hire? And you know, several reasons, several factors go into that. We had just hired a men's basketball coach 3 years previously in Craig Smith, and obviously great success, qualified for the NCAA tournament all 3 years he was here, and ended up going right down the road to Salt Lake City to the University of Utah. And so knowing that the situation that hire was done in, you know, people around the country know that Utah State is a really, really good basketball job, you know, and I would argue that it's a better job than quite a few Power Five jobs out there, just from, you know, our attendance, the support for basketball, the success level the last 3 years, you know, two guys now between Sam Merrill and Namias Keita in the NBA. So I knew the interest was going to be very strong. You know, have great relationships around the world of college basketball, not only with coaches and administrators, but also with, you know, the agents that are involved with college basketball too. So that one I decided to do on my own because I knew we were going to have great interest. And, you know, it was an interesting dynamic. It's funny, and I'll tell the story. We have one of our significant donors who, the day that we actually hired Ryan, and it all kind of came together the Sunday and Monday of the Final Four, and I happened to be in Indianapolis, but I didn't get out of my room a whole lot in Indianapolis between doing some interviews, trying to put a package together for Ryan, trying to coordinate keeping the circle just as tight as possible in terms of people who knew, because it was really important for us and for Ryan to let our student athletes know first, to coordinate that with him meeting with his you know, student athletes at Maryland Baltimore County, and then being able to release that and doing that while all the time negotiating, you know, the terms of a term sheet as well, and trying to keep it a close circle. That truly gave me, you know, insight into where a search firm is really, really valuable, because in helping you kind of coordinate those things and get some of those T's crossed and I's dotted as you hit the finish line of the search process. But, you know, it all worked out well. We kept it as close, you know, as tight knit as possible. In today's world of social media, it's virtually impossible to keep it totally airtight, but I thought we did a pretty good job of that.
You absolutely did. And, you know, it's interesting. when we talk about search firms and use of search firms, I think it's the fans sometimes, you know, like to poke holes at that and say, hey, well, you know, why you're the athletic director, that's one of your primary jobs, why don't you know who you should hire? And what they don't understand is the reality is you are making that hire and you are doing your research on the candidates. And yes, the search firm might add some profiles to your mix at some point, but clearly they're there to help protect the process and to maybe do some background work, you know, and otherwise you're doing the lion's share of the work in that effort. And I think fans don't really understand that.
Yeah, and confidentiality on both sides being really important, not only for the candidates or potential candidates that you're interviewing, but also back for the university is really important. And I will say we did not use a search firm in that in terms of the actual search itself, but I did utilize one to when we got down to the final couple of candidates for some background work.
You know, I think it's a kind of an interesting story. You've spent most of your career in the Southeast, and I don't know where Blake was before Arkansas State, but obviously he was at Arkansas State, and Ryan's been mainly in the Southeast, and I think Kayla before she went to Denver was pretty much in the Southeast, and so now you've got this crew that are out in Utah, and you talked about fit, and so what did you see in each of those individuals that sort of, you know, checked the box for you as it relates to fit in moving to Utah, to Utah State specifically to coach?
Yeah, and again, talking about fit and culture being important, you know, if you look at those three individuals between Kayla Arden, as you mentioned, you know, she and I first crossed paths. She was an assistant for Shanda Rigby at Troy for a year, my first year there, and then went on to Clemson and Dayton before going to Denver University. And then, of course, we hired her. And then you have Blake, who you know, we hired him obviously from 7 years as the head coach at Arkansas State, but he's a Texas native, had been with Larry Fedora as the OC at Southern Miss and then at North Carolina before getting the opportunity as a head coach. And then Ryan Odom, again, everybody knows Ryan's dad and his tenures at Wake Forest in South Carolina, and then Ryan, you know, head coach at Lenore, had been an assistant at Virginia Tech and then a head coach at Lenore Ryan before going to UMBC. But, you know, the thing with all of those, and you know, this was an important part of the interview process too, is they had been at smaller programs, they had been in smaller communities. I love hiring individuals who have been at smaller places, who have to think outside the box, who you know, the word budget is a significant term that's used. You know, we want to give them all the resources they need to be successful. But, you know, sometimes I'm going to have to say no. And all of those individuals have been at smaller schools, have worked with limited budgets before. You know, they all have kind of the lunch pail mentality, roll up your sleeves and go to work. And, you know, though all of those things really important. And then at the end of the day, you know, I drilled down pretty deep with all of those candidates. Hey, you know, talk to me about your comfort level in coming to Utah. And obviously, you know, a significant recruiting component for us across all of our sports are, you know, potentially, you know, return mission kids and the ability to understand that. And, you know, you may sign an 18-year-old, but they may go on an LDS mission for the next 2 years and come back as a 20-year-old. And that's not something that everybody deals with. So the ability to drill down, talk to them about that, talk to them about how they would develop their staffs and fill out their coaching staff. You know, all of those were components into hiring these individuals.
Yeah. Well, you know, I've only met Kayla through you briefly, but Ryan, you know, obviously I worked with Dave Odom back in the day when I was at Wake Forest, and, you know, the Odom family, just phenomenal folks. And of course, Ryan was a young man at that point, but he's been in basketball for a long time. Then Blake, I happened to get to know through Jimmy Sexton, interestingly, and spent some time with Blake when he was going through, you know, the tragic situation with his first wife and walking through that with him a little bit. And he is a great human being in addition to being a great football coach. So I would say you have got three good ones there, my friend.
Yeah, really excited about them. And you know, as I tease Ryan and Blake, and Blake has maintained that, I say they're still on their honeymoon. They're undefeated. And, you know, no losses, and everybody loves you. So let's try to keep that up. And I'll have to say, too, that we've done the same thing. Manny Martins, who we hired back in the spring as our new soccer coach, and Manny had a very successful career as a top assistant at both UCLA, and we hired him from the University of Oregon as the associate head coach, and our soccer team is 6-0-1 to start too. So he's still on his honeymoon. Obviously, those things at some point will come to an end, but we'll ride them as long as we can.
No doubt, man. Well, you mentioned the topic of budgets a minute ago, so that's going to harken me back to your career growth for just a second. So, you know, for those who don't know, I think you grew up in Mobile, Alabama, and went to the Citadel and played basketball there, and was on the team. I think maybe you were the team captain even your senior year. So, and if I understand or remember correctly, John, when you first got out, you actually went to work in internal audit, and then maybe as a CFO. And I think you've even told me, maybe it's even a brag point, that you're one of only one or two CPAs in the college athletic director chair. Is that correct?
Yeah, I'll give a shout out to my colleagues, Rob Mullins and Jamie Pollard out there. And there may be another one now, but I think at one time we were the only three FBS ADs who have that CPA designation behind our name. So yeah, it obviously comes into is a benefit. And like you said, and I'll date myself a little bit here, Mike. Well, actually, my undergrad degree was in accounting, and when I started, it was called Ernst & Winnie. And a lot of you say Ernst & Winnie today, and a lot of people don't even know what that is. But Ernst & Winnie, after I'd been there a year, became Ernst & Young. So I spent 4.5 years in public accounting. I then went back to the Citadel as their director of internal audit for 3 years, and then was in private business along the South Carolina coast as a CFO in the beverage business for 3 years. So yeah, I was 10 years in a variety of positions before jumping back into college athletics at age 31, and had the opportunity to go to Georgia State. Was my first opportunity in college athletics. But that, I will say, the financial background has served me very well, and now 24 plus years in athletic administration.
So you were at Georgia State and Ole Miss before you became the athletic director at Troy, and you were in private business. So what led to the jump into college athletics? Was it a relationship? Was it just a long-term interest in getting in college athletics? How did that happen to move from the private sector on the campus?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I'll have to give, the vast majority of this credit back to the guy that was my college coach, Les Robinson, who many folks know went on to a very successful coaching career at East Tennessee State and then on to North Carolina State following Jim Valvano as the head coach there. And then he became the athletic director. And I'll never forget, this was the summer of 1997. And I was having a phone conversation with Les one day, and he said, "Hey, John, you should really consider getting into college athletics." He said, "Your financial background, your people skills, the people you know in the business," he said, "soon to be gone are going to be the days where old coaches like myself migrate into the athletic director's chair." And so almost like I'd listened to him sort of as a second dad for several years, I heeded that advice. His foresight was spot on. It 24 years later, it worked out just fine.
Yeah, so playing on that, and it may be that it's some of the similar advice, but you now have been an athletic director for almost 10 years or right at 10 years at Troy and Utah State. And this particular podcast gets a lot of listeners from staff members within the athletic department, assistant ADs, associate ADs, directors of marketing, that kind of thing. What's your counsel now for those who are coming up through the ranks and aspire to be an athletic director like yourself?
Yeah, I would say take advantage of every opportunity. Don't get yourself pigeonholed. You may be coming through the marketing and promotions channels. You may be coming through the development channels, through facilities. But even in those entry level and, mid level management positions, make yourself invaluable. Have experience across the board and everything you can, because, once you get the opportunity to get to the chair. You know, the great thing about it is, and I'll hearken this back to my CPA days, there are no 2 days the same, but you're going to touch every facet that there is. But, you know, the one thing that's a consistent across the board, communication skills. And I think in today's world of social media and hiding behind texts and emails, sometimes we lose the skills of communication. There is nothing more important than that one-on-one communication ability. And, you know, my staff probably gets tired of me saying this, especially when you have something that may be controversial or not, you know, necessarily something somebody wants to hear. Get up and walk down the hall or go across campus and have those conversations. Don't hide behind your computer or behind your cell phone and have what may be become a confrontational, you know, conversation. Do that face to face. Be able to look people in the eye, because I think that's a lost art, if you will, on some of our young people today, because they've gotten so used to hiding behind their computer, hiding behind the phone. So I just really think the communication skills and the interpersonal one-on-one relationships is really, really important.
John, it's so spot on, man. You know, as you know, I have 5 kids, and they range from age 12 to 25. And my 25-year-old, who I've got a great relationship with, she will take a text from me and manipulate it sometimes in the something totally different from what I intended. And, you know, so, but then, you know, to take the call, I might not be able to actually get her to pick up the phone and talk lies. So it's I do believe it's one of the great separators in the marketplace today, not in college athletics only, but across the spectrum, the ability to communicate effectively and to do that in a very real way, you know, verbally or in person, is something that's going to be important for those who aspire to leadership positions in the future.
Yeah, it really is. One other piece of advice I would give, and I try to do this every day, the art of a handwritten note, whether it's a thank you note or, hey, I'm just thinking about you, or any of those things. Again, a lot of people don't do that anymore. They'll email or they'll write a form letter. Take the time to write handwritten notes. And I think that, again, that's something that a lot of people don't do, that when people get it now, they're so it's so unusual for them to get handwritten notes that it really means a whole lot.
Yeah. So, look, there are 5 or 6 different subject matters we could hit on that are really hot in today's college athletic environment between COVID and the transfer portal, NIL, realignment, all those kinds of things. I'm intrigued, at least with the moves that have been made so far on the realignment front. For now, it appears the Mountain West is in a very stable situation. And I'd like to just hear your perspective sitting there, looking at your league and what you've seen across the country and the landscape, your impressions or thoughts so far on what's happening in realignment.
Yeah, and you know, we all wish we had the crystal ball and say, hey, not only next week, but next year, the next 5 years, what's going to play out? A couple of things, and again, this goes back to the listeners, whether you're assistant AD, entry-level person. You know, the one thing that I've told our staff is, yes, we absolutely have to be aware of what is happening around us, not only from an institutional perspective and from a conference perspective, but I also caution them and say, hey, we can't have paralysis by analysis. We can't sit there, whether you're the athletic director or the associate AD or whatever you may be, and say, oh, gosh, what if this happens? What if that happens? Because you can do that and get caught up in that and you don't accomplish anything. So my initial message to our staff and to our coaches is, hey, control what we can control. And have our vision of being, you know, a top level Mountain West program across the board in all of our sports, in our academic pursuits, and our media relations, and all our different administrative areas as well. Let's position ourselves the very best that we can and control what we can control, and, you know, win as many games and contests as we can. But we do have to look at that, and just like every other league, you know, my peers in the Mountain West Conference, we've been on regular calls Sometimes almost on a daily basis, we've had conversations back and forth with each other. But you make a great point, and we feel that way from the Mountain West Conference perspective. We feel that our league is very sound right now. We do want to look at opportunities for expansion. We can't bury our head in the sand and say, oh, you know, the Mountain West Conference is nirvana. Nobody would leave the Mountain West Conference, because I think, you know, in this environment where change is the constant, that, we've got to be able to look at opportunities for our league to expand but be strategic about it. I mean, we've got 12 member institutions right now who are very solid. We've gotten off to a good start, had some good wins. My hat's off to John David Wicker and their big win over Arizona on Saturday. We've had some success, obviously our win against Washington State, Doug Knuth in Nevada beating Cal. So we've had some really good wins, but we've got to look to the future. And so not expansion for expansion's sake, but expansion potentially with strategic moves to help the Mountain West Conference get even stronger.
No doubt. Well, you're in a great league, and you mentioned some highlight wins there that show the competitiveness, right? And we know that's also the case in basketball and your other sports as well. Let's close out with some sort of quick fun items. These are easy answers. This is how do we get to know John Hartwell a little bit better. And so water skiing or snow skiing?
I water skied until I was 50 years old. When I moved to Utah, I learned to snow ski, but I would say I am not in any danger of going down any black diamond slopes. My 12-year-old daughter skis circles around me and laughs at me, but I learned to water ski. Hey, and for those that have not done both, you lean back water skiing. If you lean back snow skiing, which I did early in my experiences, you bust your tail. Get your weight out over the tips of your skis.
There you go. Well, so look, I know there's not really much time for any relaxation, but what if you find that time, what does John Hartwell do for relaxation?
Yeah, I enjoy spending time with my kids. Just as you've got the spectrum, I've got a 29-year-old son, and then I've got daughters who are 12 and 9. So trying to spend as much family time with my wife and kids as I can. Our go-to place to relax, starting our seventh year here in Utah, but I still have an affinity to the Gulf of Mexico, and we're fortunate enough to have a place down on the Florida Panhandle. So I try to get down there two or three times a year and just totally unplug for a few days, get the sand in my toes. And, my mom used to always tell me, hey, the warm salt water of the Gulf of Mexico cures anything that ails you, and I tried to still adhere to that advice today.
Yeah, no doubt, man. So if I were visiting Utah and had not been there before, which I have been, what's the one spot that you would tell folks that you have to visit if you come to the state of Utah?
Well, I'm obviously partial to Logan and things here in Cache Valley, which is absolutely what we describe as a piece of heaven on earth. But one of the hidden gems that a lot of people don't know about lies about 20 miles as the crow flies to our east, and that's Bear Lake. And Bear Lake is known as the Caribbean or the Rockies. It is absolutely a gorgeous place that, much like a lot of things in Utah, the prices have gone through the roof. In fact, if you want a real estate tip, I've had several people tell me here in the last two or three months that Bear Lake will be the next Park City. And anybody who's looked at real estate prices lately in Park City, they've absolutely gone through the roof. So check out Bear Lake. It's beautiful lake that half of it sits in the state of Idaho, half in Utah, and it is just breathtaking, the views there.
Awesome. We need to file that tip away. All right. Last two. You grew up in Mobile, Alabama. You went to school in Charleston, South Carolina. So given the choice, are you a gumbo guy or a Brunswick stew guy?
Gumbo all day long.
All right. Good. And then you mentioned Les early on in this conversation, but on the way out here, mentors, who are the two or three people that you would say that were largely you know, just rocks for you in your career growth?
Yeah, you know, again, Les is the guy who pointed me in the direction of this profession. He has been solid and continues to be. I talk to him on a pretty regular basis. You know, the guy, and he retired several years ago, but Pete Boone, who was my athletic director at Ole Miss, you know, and Pete came from a business background, too. He was a banker a couple of times. He was a banker, went to Ole Miss as the AD, went back into banking, and then went back to Ole Miss. You know, he has been a steady force as well. And, you know, I've had had the great fortune to work with some really strong people. I mean, you look at our staff that we had at Ole Miss under Pete's leadership. And, you know, Danny White's there. Alan Green was there. Keith Carter was there. I mean, we've had some great people. And again, I think it's really important in this business not only to have mentors who may be older, who have more time in the business, but the network amongst friends in the business and the ability to pick up the phone and call and say, hey, how are you handling this? Because it doesn't matter the institution you're at. We're all dealing with the same issues, and to have those networks and you know, people that you can rely on in the business and you trust their insight is really, really key.
No doubt, man. Well, look, it's been a pleasure to have you on. You're a guy who I enjoy spending some personal time around with, in addition to admiring the job that you've done in your career, and look forward to getting back out to Logan in the near future and maybe breaking bread with you again soon. And so I really do thank you for your time today, John.
Thank you, Mike. Great to be with you, and thanks for having me on. And again, in our business right now, it's coming fast and furious. There's a lot of change. None of us can be hesitant to change, and just make sure, you know, that we're trying to do things that changes for the better. So good luck.
Thanks, John. You've been listening to From the Chair, and today's guest was John Hartwell from Utah State University. We'll see you next time.